Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
Wearing a mask is an instrument of freedom.
Close the bars and keep the schools open.
I don't think it was rigged, but I do think there were some things that were done that shouldn't have been done.
All of a sudden, I went from winning by a lot to losing by a little.
He's just setting up a campaign that's already begun.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, good morning to you. It's Monday. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Trisha. Denise,
good
back
morning.
With me.
Good yes. morning. Yes,
How's everybody
welcome
doing?
Back.
Yeah,
all
thank
back
you.
Together.
Seems like it's been 6 days since I was here. It's been a while.
It's a nice little break.
No kidding. Yeah. Same
it's
for
been
you,
nice.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Feel refreshed, ready to go.
Good. Yay.
Yay.
That's
yay.
One of us.
Here.
Sleep
on
is good. Sleep is a little extra sleep never hurts.
Oh, my. Got lots of good sleep over the past week. That's a good thing. Hope that you're refreshed from your holiday and back at it this week, even if that means you don't get to go to work because of COVID restrictions. So that's kind of where we are, right? That's
same
where we
place,
are. Do you see
week.
This mayor in Denver tweets out to people, don't travel for Thanksgiving if you don't have to. Mm. And an hour later, went to the airport and got on a plane and flew to Florida to visit his family.
Oh, the hypocrisy.
Oh, he's taking a little bit of grief for that this morning, if you can imagine.
As well they all should be.
Yeah. Oh, his political opponents were all over that.
Do as I say, not as I do, seems to be the trend. The governors and so many states.
Pritzker, all of them are doing it, right? I mean, it's just amazing to me some of the double standard that's going on around the country. Now we've got, Joe Biden has got somebody who's his primary advisor on COVID, this doctor. Got the story somewhere here in my stack, who came out yesterday and said, yeah, you know what? Because everybody traveled anyway when we told them not to at Thanksgiving, next thing you know, you're all going to be dead. I'm paraphrasing. Oh. But I'm paraphrasing here. But that's effectively what she said. That you ignored us. You traveled anyway, so I expect we're going to see.
You deserve what you get.
We're going to see a rash of illnesses, and then a lot of people are going to be dead in just a couple of weeks. So we'll see. I guess we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how you feel. I know how I feel about it. We got together with my family. I consider the people that were at my house to be in the bubble for the most part. But I was not going to just stop life. You make decisions of the elderly grandmothers involved in our life on both sides of the family. We're not there. We made that decision. Rest of us are all healthy.
You mean you were
adults.
Able to make that decision on your own?
It's weird. It felt kind of odd, you
without
know?
Without someone telling you what to do, you wouldn't have,
I thought about calling Sam Page, see if I could get through just to gauge his point of view on it and get some quality advice from him, but he wouldn't answer.
Hmm.
So it was really weird. I don't know. We got together. We lived. We had a great time, and nobody. You know, I did. I was out on Black Friday, and went to St. Charles to the festival they have there on Main Street. You know, 90% of the people I saw on the streets had masks on, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody I saw in a restaurant, for the most part, had a mask on until they got to their table. People showed up. I don't know if the crowd was as big as normal. It's hard for me to say because I don't go there every year. But I did notice as I drove by the outlet malls there in Chesterfield, it was packed. The outlet mall was packed with cars on Friday. Now, mm-hmm. I didn't drive over there till, you know, 10:30, 10:45, something like that. I guess those are all essential employees. But if you work for a restaurant, you're not, right? It's kind of where we are.
It's maddening, but yeah. I went to one store on Saturday, so it wasn't a Black Friday thing, but I was just actually just killing some time. And they know how many people they can have in there, mm-hmm. and it says on the outside, like, this many people can be in the store. And I'm like, it was busy, and as much as there were markings on the floor of which direction to go, people don't pay attention.
No, of course not.
And mm-hmm. it's funny, because I didn't even realize they were there, because when I walk into a store, I don't, like, walk with my head down looking at the ground. So, like, you're in the store, there's all sorts of stuff everywhere. I'm like, I'm just, like, looking around, meandering around, like, just kind of, you know, just looking around, perusing. And then it wasn't until I was halfway through the store, I was like, oh, there's, sure. I was the idiot. I'm like, there's arrows on the ground. But then I'm watching other people, I'm like, oh. No one knows there's arrows on the ground.
Of course not. You'd kind of want to point that out to somebody, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would think.
I mean, not really. I mean, it's just chaos. I went to the store.
You just be careful around people. I don't need an arrow to tell me which way I can go down a lane. I just am trying to be respectful.
Right. Yeah, we've been ignoring those for months.
Yeah.
Those arrows. I went to the grocery store on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. That was a bad idea.
It's terrible. All I needed was booze, too, but I needed a cart. So I'm like, I'll go to Schnucks. It'll be fine. It was not fine. There were a lot of people there.
I did go. I went on Wednesday, and it wasn't horrible. I had to go get some stuff for my mom since she wasn't going to be with us on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So
I did notice when I was out on Wednesday, everybody was in a really good mood, employees and other people in general.
That's good.
Yeah, everybody was being very kind to one another this year. I don't know if it's just like the weirdness and people were excited about the holiday, but every single person I came in contact with was friendly on Wednesday. And
that's
good. Great. Yeah.
They were feeling that American defy the king spirit. That's what it was.
Or maybe they were looking forward to the potatoes.
Oh, or it could have been the potatoes.
Pumpkin pie.
Could
the
have might have been the potatoes. You know where my mind's going automatically.
We do.
Well,
yes,
yeah,
we
I know you do.
Sir.
I know you do.
Ours went the opposite. Yeah, I'm excited about the pumpkin pie.
He's
like,
food.
We're defying the king.
Yep, Ted Nugent.
That sounds about right.
Ted Nugent said that. Hey, by the way, we've got Senator Andrew Koenig going to join us later in the 7 o'clock hour. He's already laying out the plans that he wants the legislature to take to help us overcome these superpowers that have been adopted by Sam Page. And he's going to tell us what that is. He's going to hold a news conference laying out what's in that bill. And we're going to talk to him first about it this morning at about 7:35. Get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
We don't have freedom of the press in this country. We have suppression by the press. They suppress. You know, you can't have a scandal if nobody reports about it.
Yeah, true. Boy, the president went sideways on Maria Bartiromo's program on Sunday, which has pretty much become must-watch TV, in my opinion, on Sunday mornings there on Fox. One of the things that I guess a lot of people are still watching on Fox, among the many things that some of them aren't, from what I'm picking up on. But the president went live with Maria and talked about how he still feels about what happened in this election. I don't know how you feel about it these days. The president is still alleging massive fraud. Sidney Powell has not backed off of that allegation at all and has doubled down. The courts so far have disagreed with them at just about every turn. Now, I don't agree with the way the courts have approached this, particularly in Pennsylvania. The challenge in Pennsylvania was to the law that allowed the way these ballots were counted and some of the mail-in ballots. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court shut down the president completely. Now, that's a Democrat-laden court. That's not completely a surprise. It has to be appealed now to the Supreme Court. They're also suing in federal court. The federal courts are basically claiming you can't challenge that here because federal rules don't pertain to observers in the court system because that's specific to the state of Pennsylvania. It sort of seems like they're dismissing these lawsuits on technicalities. And that's not going to sit well with a lot of the president's supporters. There's still been no answer for the fact that votes were certified in Michigan, where you had 70% of the precincts in some areas had discrepancies between the number of people who voted and the number of registered voters, the number of people who signed in versus the number of votes that were counted. And yet they certified the election results anyway. I think, tell me if you agree with this or not, 314-241-9797. I think what gets under the skin of most of us the most is the fact that there seems to be zero interest in getting these questions answered and a rush to get past whatever happened in the election. That's my perception of it. As I read these stories, what fuels my fury here is that what's the rush? We've still got, tomorrow's December 1st, correct me if I'm wrong.
True.
We've still got 15 days before the Electoral College meets. There's these issues, and you know, I heard Roy Blunt say this, and what Roy Blunt said is going to probably hack a lot of people off. Go to cut 10, please.
I don't think it was rigged, but I do think there were some things that were done that shouldn't have been done, and I think there was some element of voter fraud, as there is in every election, but I don't have any reason to believe that the numbers are there and, that would have made that difference.
And not enough to change the results. That's the key.
When they were opening all those ballots, they would have let people see that they were checking the signatures.
But Senator, the issue I would take there with you is there are enough votes in question to make a difference in at least two, if not three, of these states. If 96,000 votes are thrown out in Wisconsin, for example, if what happened in Georgia is investigated and those votes are set aside, that's enough to overcome a 12,000 vote margin. I don't blame the president for being angry with Brian Kemp and this Ratzenberger, whatever his name is, the Secretary of State down there. There is just a rush to put this in the rearview mirror and move forward. And I think a lot of people are like, okay, that's fine. But what happens if after you've installed Joe Biden, we discover what they're saying is true because you were in such a rush to get past it and act like it didn't happen? What happens then? Now, I've not found an expert yet who's willing to speculate on that because legal people don't like to speculate too much on a constitutional crisis. In my opinion, that's a constitutional crisis. These aren't allegations that a foreign power like Russia or China spent $100 million on hackers to try to change public perception. That's not what we're talking about here. The allegations are that the system of mail-in ballots combined with the ability to manipulate the software within Dominion changed the outcome of a United States election. Maybe one or the other of those on their own wouldn't be enough to make a difference. Combined, they are. And in my opinion, they need to, this needs to be looked at probably by the federal government. Go to cut 15, please.
Well, what I've said and I thought I said and intended to say is there should be an investigation, a thorough criminal investigation, frankly, of everyone involved in acquiring the Dominion system for the state of Georgia and frankly, for every other state. Given how appalling the system is and the fact that it was designed to manipulate the votes and destroy the real votes of American citizens who were casting legal votes.
Sidney Powell there. I've long been frustrated with the fact that basically election decisions, key election decisions, have just been turned over to 50 different people in 50 different states. The rules are different in every state. The rules are loose in blue states, tighter in red states. And we've got a problem we have to address immediately, as in before January 5th in the state of Georgia. So we're going to talk more about all that. We'll talk about a little sports. If you watched that Tyson fight the other night, we're going to get into that as well. 314-241-9797.
We don't have a ton of information yet, but what we've just heard from President-elect Joe Biden's office is that out of an abundance of caution, he has been taken to see an orthopedist. This is because we are told that yesterday, on Saturday, he slipped and twisted his ankle while playing with his dog, Major.
Yeah, and now Joe Biden is going to be limping into the new year, just like America will potentially for the next four.
And assuming he's sworn in January, that will be assuming the breaking news stories that we January, have for the next yeah, 4 years.
Exactly. That was the lead story on the 5 a.m. Fox News this morning.
Joe Biden twisted his ankle.
Yeah. Well, I think President Trump's fault for not having a pet.
Well, yeah, that's true. Heartless bastard.
How dare he not have a pet in the White House?
Yeah. Oh, he's bringing dogs back to the White House. I read that story the other day.
Yes.
We'll finally have a dog back in the White House. We're going to have more than that in the Oval Office. But we'll see. I heard that story this weekend. That's what a slow weekend news cycle it was. Thank goodness the president was out there talking. It had to be a slow sports cycle, too. So raise your hand. If you watched Mike Tyson and Roy Jones on Saturday night.
I did.
You didn't watch any of it?
No.
The hand raising is terrible radio for anybody listening.
Denise did not watch.
I had it on and I fell asleep. It was late. I know it was a Saturday 11, and it shouldn't have been. But it was relatively late. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't keep my eyes open. But I watched some the next morning.
Painful to watch for a couple of reasons, in my opinion. Number one, I guess because they didn't have any audience at all. It was just in a room. Mm-hmm. They had two sets of announcers. They had the ring announcers who were sort of calling the play-by-play as it was going on. And in the background, they had Snoop Dogg along with Sugar Ray Leonard and another guy I didn't recognize. And they kept their mics up the whole time as well. So you'd hear the announcers talking, and then in the background, you'd hear Snoop Dogg saying something like, "This looks like my two uncles at the last barbecue I went to." It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, of course, it was cable, so they were dropping cuss words and everything in the background, and I don't know. That was my first impression of why it was weird.
Now for the boxing.
Yes, now for the boxing.
Which was,
I mean, I know it was supposed to be an exhibition, but as Sugar Ray Leonard said going into it, you step in the ring with Mike Tyson, it's not an exhibition. You could get killed. And Jones just decided that his strategy was going to be, well, every time he punches me, I'm just going to hug him. And they spent most of their 8 rounds in a loving embrace.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. However,
I don't think it was the right matchup for something that Tyson probably wanted more.
I think we all wanted more. We wanted Mike Tyson to pummel this guy. And then at the end to have it end up in a draw was like, all right.
Yeah.
I thought the production value was pretty good, considering. I watched a bunch of fights leading up to it. I thought the whole thing was done really well.
Yeah.
Considering this weird time we're in. But I was not happy about the outcome.
Did you see the Nate Robinson fight?
I don't remember. They all
the guy that got knocked out cold?
Oh, I saw a picture of that.
In the fight just before it?
Yes.
Robinson's a former NBA player who challenged some YouTube star turned MMA fighter to a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I got into some war of words and it ended up, he challenged him to a fight. And he goes, "I've never been a boxer, but I'm an athlete and I'm going to show you what an athlete can do to somebody who's not an athlete." He basically, this former NBA player, who's a pretty good NBA player, challenged this YouTuber. And the guy
out
cold cocked him.
Yeah.
Just cold cocked him. There were memes flying around on the internet.
Yep.
The Nate Robinson challenge with a guy laying on his kitchen floor. I mean, I saw one where they were standing there with Tyson and Jones at the end of their fight, and in the background, somebody had superimposed Nate Robinson's body still laying on the mat behind them. He still hadn't recovered from it.
Has he spoken?
Robinson?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have not heard from him. Okay. I have not heard from him. But, man, when you...
I must have missed that. I walked in the room. Oh, that's funny. Those are good.
Have I told you to my boxing history?
I mean, your what happened to your face?
My nose?
Yeah.
I've heard this, but I think it's worth a retell.
Well, I don't know I decided when I was in college, in the peak of my physical condition, that I would participate in an interfraternity council boxing competition. Went out, actually even ran a little bit, sparred a little bit, thought I was going to get in the ring and be the next, Mike Tyson. even though I predated Mike Tyson a little bit.
I'm picturing Rocky running the stairs.
I did too. I really did. I did. If Rocky can do it, Sylvester Stallone, I can do it.
Right.
So the first two rounds, what I didn't discover till after I entered the competition is that 200 pounds and up was heavyweight. Like there was no 210 and under. If you were over 200 pounds, so I was like 201. So I'm suddenly thrust into the heavyweight division. And the first two rounds I won by default because the other fraternities didn't enter anybody into the heavyweight division.
So you suddenly didn't have to fight. You won
I won the first two rounds by default.
Nice job.
Suddenly I'm in the final round, the championship round, having never boxed around yet. And I get called into the ring, and I look across from me, and there was a kid who was a scholarship wrestler for the University of Kentucky. And he was probably had 3 inches in height on me, and I'm guessing 3 inches in reach. I mean, he was just huge. And I'm like, it's okay, man. I was psyched up. I was ready to go. Made it through the first round, and apparently I hurt him at some point. Second round, he was angry. And he broke my nose. I didn't know what hit me. All I know is that the next thing I know, I'm at the emergency room. Oh. And the nurse is saying, did you get the license plate of that truck that hit you? Because there was blood everywhere. Man. That was the end of my boxing career. Two rounds.
Very short.
Two rounds. Very short. Yeah. I'm very happy
about
that.
But you won two, so, you know.
Also discovered if you're going to box, you should not have a nose the size of mine. It's too big of a target. It's a profile.
It's a liability.
You don't want to do that if you can avoid it. So that's kind of where I was. So did you see the Mizzou football game was this weekend? We're going to have to talk to Tom Ackerman about that. They played Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that history was made in that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
Sarah,
the female soccer player that they brought in to kick who really didn't really get an opportunity to.
Well, she kicked off.
She got this, yeah. Yes. But no, like, extra point attempts and no field goal attempts
because
or anything
Because Mizzou killed them.
Yes.
Because Vandy's never been very good at football. But, the thing about it is that apparently somebody was accusing the Commodore coach of just doing this as a stunt because she was the first female to ever appear in a football game for a Power Five school when she kicked off for the Commodores. And I'm gonna get in some trouble here. I think I could have managed a better kickoff than that. My point here is the reason I think he's accused of this being a stunt is that the ball didn't go 25 yards, maybe 30. I mean, it barely got up in the air. I have a hard time believing they didn't have somebody else who couldn't have kicked the ball better. I think they did this as a stunt.
Did she have time to prepare? Like, was she practicing for this?
Well, I don't know how you
other than when they made the announcement. Like, was it so last minute that she barely had time to, like, was this something that she had, like, practiced before? Like, was this in like a long-term plan that this could have happened so that she was like some sort of backup along the way that she would have been kind of practicing these things along
the way? I
got
the impression that they were a little shorthanded and they needed a kicker and they don't have a men's soccer team and this girl was the goalie for the women's soccer team and they drafted her, I guess. I don't know. I was just, when I watched the kick, I was underwhelmed. Like I really expected, because oftentimes those kickoffs go into the end zone. This one, they kick off from what, the 35 yard line. It didn't even go to the 35 yard line on the other side. Basically,
we'll compare that to. I can't compare this to anything because I don't watch a whole lot of college football.
Right.
So, are all of the kickers on all the college football teams that excellent that they're going to the end zone?
I don't know. Maybe not at Vandy. maybe that was the problem. They've never been They've never been very good in football. So. I don't know. But that happened. They made history. And I don't know if she stays on the team, if this was some sort of COVID shortage and they're going to have the rest of their players back next week or what. But that happened. Mizzou one just killed them, by the way. Was it? They didn't even score, did they?
No, 41-0.
Yeah, so she didn't even get a chance to kick an extra point. So I think that maybe the allegation that it was a little bit of a stunt. I think maybe they were onto something. But regardless, nobody got hurt in the action. 314-241-9797.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I'm guessing there won't be any more ex-NBA players challenging somebody to a boxing match. I did go back, though, and see where Floyd Mayweather said he was proud of him for getting in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different kind of sport. I'll have to be honest with you. Even at I'm a couple years older than Mike Tyson, but even going two-minute rounds for eight rounds is pretty impressive at that age, to be honest with you. Now, I kind of wish they were three-minute rounds because sometimes it would just start to get interesting and the bell would ring. But most of the other time they were hugging anyway, so it didn't matter.
Dancing?
They were dancing. I figured they were just setting up a rematch, right? Maybe that's it. I don't know. Clearly, Roy Jones Jr. decided he didn't want to have any more damage done to him. He was bobbing and weaving and ducking, and he'd throw a haymaker, and he'd duck the other way. It was pretty impressive.
I mean, I would assume that Mike Tyson would really want a little, like, that he should, that he'll do this again with somebody that would really kind of give
box
him a fight.
Him? Yeah, he might. He might.
That's what I thought. The rest of the fight, but most of the rest of the fights counted, right? This one didn't. This was just for charity.
Yes.
When they called it a draw at the end, I kind of got, well, I kind of got a, like a setup vibe.
Yeah.
Like they set this up as a show. So both charities or whatever got the.
So now it's like, okay, can Mike Tyson have a real fight? And let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you didn't answer any questions like, hey, can he still do this? Well, we don't know.
Mm-mm. It made me feel like he was in on it, that the fix was in.
Yeah. It would have to be controlled. I mean, it would be like trying to think of who would be a good. It would be like Isaac Bruce, I'm sorry, trying to come back as a wide receiver. And he still catch the ball, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't run like he used to. So there's no way Mike Tyson can get back in the ring. I'm anxious to hear Ackerman's thoughts on this later, but there's no way Tyson can get back in the ring against a current boxer.
No.
Because he just won't have the stamina or the speed for that. He's going to have to find somebody else who's closer to his age, who's been out of it for a while. Maybe he's willing to go back in and fight him. That would be suicide for him to get in the ring with a current boxer. I can't see that happening. I don't know. Maybe if it's a big enough payday. My son told me Tyson did this because he needed money. So I don't know. Maybe that's what's motivating it all. You know. Let's put it out there on the line one more time. Hey, Kevin, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, I wanted to let you know a little bit more about that kicker for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
What the whole situation was. Now, this is according to news, so it might be fake news, but they said that the whole kicking team, the kids that kick for Vanderbilt, normally all tested positive, I guess, for COVID or all quarantined. And nobody was on campus because it was Thanksgiving break. And then the girls' soccer team got back from some sort of NCAA tournament or something where they won. I think it was the SEC tournament. And she was there, so they happened to ask her. And they said they couldn't even get a hold of the soccer coach to let them know they were going to do this because the soccer coach had already gone home for Thanksgiving break. And then the reason she pooched that kick was they coached her to do that, according to the announcers. They didn't want her to kick away, maybe because they were too scared of our kick returners. I don't know. But
All right.
I'd fill you in on those little tidbits.
Good to know, yeah. Kevin. I appreciate the phone call.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you. I knew they were short staffed. So that's what the coach said. They coached her to do that. All right. It's fine. They made history doing it. Let's put it that way. 314-241-9797. What's going on with these legal challenges? You heard my opinion on it earlier. We'll find out what Hans von Spakovsky from Heritage thinks when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.